Radio. G'day, and welcome back to what is yet another episode of the Zane Red and White Podcast. If you've listened previously, thank you, and welcome back. And if this is your first time here, welcome. And what do we do here? We talk all things Swannies. And this week, when we're talking all things Swannies, we're definitely not as up as we were last week when we were talking all things Swannies. This week, it comes off the back of a horrendous loss. One that hurts even more because of the opposition. And I think we're all having flashbacks. And I've got to say that it had to have played a part. To be down there against them for the first time, the flag being unfurled, that little man in their heads. They must have been thinking from the get-go, if things go wrong, things could go horribly wrong again. Even on the biggest day, it went wrong. And this time round, we had the likes of Rampy, both McCartans, Hickey, Reed and Franklin all out. These aren't excuses because you shouldn't allow a team to do that. We're not witches' hats. We're better than that. They are definitely better than us. You have to say it. But that was shocking. Like, people say we didn't try. I saw effort. But I could see, like, chalk and cheese. Like, apples and oranges. I don't know. Whatever you want to say. The level of football now between us and them was just stark. I know we'd been thrown around the ground, so you're probably playing in roles that you're not used to and at all, plays part and parcel. And people say we haven't learnt from last time. You can't flick a switch over a pre-season and go, okay, that's what went wrong. Let's not do that again. These are seasoned veteran guys who have played the game for, you're talking 200-odd games and such. We were still the youngest team of the comp, and it showed. An example is that when the game was at its most important in the first half, when they just took it away, the top four ranked players at halftime were all Cats, and they were all over 30. Like, that says something to me. That shows how experience matters. And experience in the role that you're playing matters too. So being thrown around like that, it's got to hurt. And they're trying to, like, band-aid situations. And when it worked last week, I can't blame Horse for going in with the same plan, thinking, okay, that worked there. Let's go with that again because it worked so well. You can't blame him. So a lot of people are blaming him. And if it had been done differently, say they played Mills in the middle from the get-go, they played Gould from the get-go, they played Francis down back, all of that, would have really, like, looking at the overall performance on the day, do you think it was going to make that much more difference? I personally don't think it would have made all that much more difference. Mills went into the middle after Roberts got injured there, and he made an impact, as you say, straight away. But there was also times I saw him caught holding the ball, turning it over, and he's only one man. That team performance from Geelong was insane. And again, they are so good. They exploited our vulnerabilities early, especially. And they would have known going in that if they hit us with absolutely everything, that we were a very good chance to crumble. And they would have revved themselves up, unfurling the flag, first home game, and Selwood's there. And they would have been up and about like nothing else. And it showed in that first. Late in the first quarter, they were up 6-1 contested marks, 3-0 intercept marks, and 6-2 in forward 50 marks. And by the end of the first quarter, they were 8-1 forward half intercepts, which they'd scored 25 points from, and we'd scored none from forward half intercepts, where forward half intercepts last week was our goldmine. And I was raving about how our forward pressure was back and we were locking it up our end and harping on saying, oh, this is us, this is us, this is our DNA. This is how we win games of footy. Keep the ball trapped up your end. Win it back with ground balls and clearances and repeat efforts and get on the scoreboard. But It lived up their end. It was insane. We just couldn't get the ball, like, up our end. And halfway through, and a lot of that comes back from, like, them winning the ball with these big bodies and hard and smart players. Like, halfway through the second quarter, it was 17-7 hard ball gets. And it wasn't just them winning the ball. They were, their tackling was off the charts. And then being able to absorb pressure from our tackles and still get disposals away was the story to me. Like, when we were under pressure, our skills were horrible. And their pressure was so good. Like, they had 71% of their tackle attempts were successful. We were 58%. The league average is 64%. And we haven't dropped below 60% all year. And we haven't had a great year. So to be 58%, not great. And them at 71% is awesome. And not just our, like, our tackle attempts not being successful, there was times when they were just stepping around us with ease. I even saw Errol, who's a great defensive player, get wrong-footed, like have his ankles broken a couple of times, and he just ended up sitting on his bum watching the guy go around him. It was so hard to watch. And towards the end of the second quarter, the Cats had 10 chains starting from their defensive 50, but had zero inside 50s. So we were not as bad as all that once we could, like, get them back, the ball back up our end. But the problem was we couldn't keep it up there. As I was saying, it just lived up their end. In the first half, the ball's in their forward half 65% of the time. And then when they went forward, they were just clinical in front of goal. A bit like the Melbourne game, which I referred back to that Essendon game last year, when these teams, they just put you away when they're so accurate. The Cats on the weekend, they were 10 goals to from shots beyond 30 metres. The AFL average is less than 50%. I have to look at some positive because I'm a positive type of bloke, and there wasn't a lot of positives, I can tell you right now. We scored 18-0 from defensive mid, like when we won the ball from the defensive midfield position. We got three of our four goals being launched from there. But the difference is, like, as I say, we stopped them when they were trying to move it from their back line. But so it might not have been chains of possessions, but they just worked the ball up, trapped it up their end, and then got it in their forward half. And from their forward half chains, they scored 61 points to our 2. What can I say? And by the end of the third, stoppages was, they'd scored 51 points to our 8 from stoppages. That's just an annihilation. And as I was saying earlier about Mills may have made a difference being in there. There's something with Mills. Like, I know in the grand final he didn't have a centre bounce attendance. I don't know if it was a role change going in towards that back end of the year, and they just ran with it because we were winning, and that was like a team dynamics thing. But, like, when JPK went out, we all went, who's our big-bodied mid? Who's this going to be? Who's going to replace him? And I was looking down the track, knowing that JPK was coming to the end, and I'd always earmarked Hewitt as his heir apprentice. Unfortunately, we lost him. We shopped him around. I'll never understand that. We shopped, unless he'd already indicated that he wanted to leave for whatever reasons. We should have been locking this guy in. And I know it's hard to lock guys in with team balance and salaries and everything like that. And maybe at the time they were setting money aside for what they believed they were going to have to end up paying for Dawson. And then by the time all the water had gone under the bridge there, it was all too little too late. Carlton had given him a proposition that we just weren't going to be able to match. And that's business. And it kills me to see him running around, released in the role that I always wanted him to be playing. And as far as being released and talking midfielders who can win the ball, I want the chains unshackled. Horse, go get your bolt cutter from the shed, mate. Cut him. Go over to Rowie and cut him. Release him. We know he's a beast. You're giving him roles just like you did Hewitt, and he doesn't because he's a team player. And he went head-to-head with bloody Dangerfield. Of all men, one of the modern-day greats. And he tried his hardest, but man, that guy, when he's got a head of steam up, he's so hard to stop. Like, Rowie had his 10 tackles, 29 pressure acts, only the 13 possessions, mind you, but 7 of them were contested, and 5 of them were centre clearances. And the stat that makes me, like, refer back to make me thinking that he's in such a defensive role is that he had these 5 clearances, and they're all from centre bounces, and he had no stoppage clearances throughout the entire game. So that's, he has to be given the role of to be the mindset to be defensive. Maybe not just in a hard tag, beat your man to the ball type of thing, or stop him from getting the ball, but he's got to be setting up defensively to use that tackling ability. I think that if you have someone who is of the skill set that he is, of see ball, get ball, that's more important because we haven't got that and we need that. And if I've said previously, if you're not on Twitter, get on Twitter. And once you get on the Twitter, after you follow me, find the James Rowbottom fan account, and he has highlight packages cut together of this man just doing what he can do, winning the ball against the best in the competition, and he needs to be released. We didn't release Hewitt, and we lost him. We need to release Rowbottom, is my opinion. Like, Gus Sheldrick has shows the potential. He's a young fella in the reserves who on the weekend, if you're not aware, he came back the week previously. He went off under injury concerns, health concerns. Nothing really came out from the club, so I can't address what it was, but he didn't play out the game. But he came back this week, and they knew that he was the man, the opposition, and they tried to stop him. They put a hard tag on him. I watched a lot of that game. He was getting a lot of attention off the ball, and he still went about his business, getting 39 disposals, kicked 2 goals, and had 7 tackles. Unfortunately, the VFL don't supply stats as far as clearances or hard balls contested and all that type of gear. But watching the game, it was all in the contest. So he's got to be a great chance. Now that, unfortunately, bloody Roberts, another injury. Yeah, results as far as recording this now have not come back from his scans. Oh, I pray it's only something minor. Not just for us, but for him. I hate seeing a young kid do the hard work, get his opportunities, and something like that just sets him back. Oh, jeez. Injuries. When I did my earlier podcast, we talked about expectations and where we could finish with this list and up against the competition. And the first thing I mentioned was how lucky we were with injuries last year. This is the polar opposite. It's early days. It's going to take a huge effort to come back because there's some great teams out there. But all we can do is back them. It can't be throw the baby out with the bathwater type gear. Yes, changes need to be made. As I was saying about them reacting better to situations, that's the thing that gets me. Whenever the ball was contested, we were outnumbered a lot of the time, and I know we had an extra man down back, but there was times like, there was one instance out on the wing, ball went out to Clark, he ends up fumbling, it was a one-on-one, you blinked, and it was 4-on-1. That's got to be, to me, we being reactive, or not reactive enough, not being aware of the situation that could possibly play out and preempting it and making the moves that need to be made. Like, another instance was out on the half-back line, ball in contention, and you could see Jeremy Cameron reading the cues, knowing that they had the outnumber, and it was every chance that the ball was going to come their way. And so he's already pivoted, and he's making his move running back inside forward 50. And Fox did as hard as you can. This isn't a knock on Fox. This is just an example of what I could see on the screen. I'm sure there was many, many examples of this throughout the game that I just couldn't see, where a situation would be playing out and you would have seen the Geelong players reacting in a way that helped their team rather than being caught in two minds, such as situations as realising that they're in the better position to win the ball, so they make that break and be the release handball. The number of times they had, it was the same as the grand final, and I did see that live, and that was them just having structures that were just elite. Knowing when to have the extra man at the stoppage, knowing when to go in to help compete for the ball or stay on the outside or make that break forward, or they'd realise what we were trying to do and they'd already have numbers going back over to cover that. They are a well-oiled machine. That's what we're working towards. And again, I said that at the start of my podcast, as far as expectations is, we are trying to get to the pinnacle as far as the competition and their abilities. We're not there yet. We have, I believe, the cattle. They're still learning. There was no guarantees. You can't go, oh, we've played in the grand final, we'll just do that again. I remember reading Mickey O's book, and he thought that himself back in 1996. Oh, we'll just back up. We'll have another go. And that's what these young kids could think. Like, as Horse said, nothing's given to you in this. You have to give what the game is required. And like he said, someone like a Dangerfield's lining up. He doesn't care who's standing next to him. He doesn't care. He's going to do what he's going to do. He's going to do what he knows needs to be done. And he's got the attributes to do it. We're still building. Unfortunately, these aren't excuses as far as the outs, but they do make a difference. They make a difference as far as players being able to play in the positions that best suit their abilities at this current stage. We have great flexibility that patches holes, but it's not going to matter when you come up against a brilliant team like that. Like Richmond last week, Geelong this week, you're not even talking the same class. You just can't. All right, rant over. Back to it. Where was I? The end of the third. Talking about stoppages. Ugh, yeah. They just went on a run. By the end of that third, they had like 6 goals in a row. I'm sure this is round about the time a lot of people turned that telly off. And it was a blessing in disguise being crook, not going to this one. I was jealous when I was hearing about the scenes down at the Barwon Club. The pub in Geelong there across the road from the ground, which is run by the McCartons. I had every intentions of going there pre-game, and sounds like it was flooded with red and white. That's a dream come true to me. My hometown, red and white everywhere. Yeah. Oh, well, as I say, at least I was on the couch. I couldn't turn it off. I wasn't overly watching, to be honest. Towards the end, there was a lot of, as they say, doom scrolling on Twitter, talking backwards and forwards and people. Bit of therapy. But yeah, like I say, the ball just lived up their end and they were just so good. They were going at 70% disposal efficiency in their forward half. We were going at 41%. And they just, time and space, and used it so good. There's one play there I remember, I think it was Blihars. Handballs the ball like 30 metres to someone, running inside 50. And they've spotted the open man. They've just ended up check-siding it to the open man. They are, like, as a football purist, they are a joy to watch. They're not a joy to watch you do that to your team, but they are a joy to watch. Yeah, Blithearts, I have to come back to that again because we're talking about the main point. Like, David King's spoken about it this week, talking about the big bodies in the inside and what have we got, and that's where we're missing. I think that was a huge thing as well. The commentators kept on going on about, oh, Laddams, he's up against an unexperienced ruckman. And Blithearts is an absolute gun and would be a walk-up start in any team as a ruckman, even though he doesn't play ruck majoritively. That's how good he is. And when the ball hits, like, it's not his rucking. He had 49 ruck contests and only won 15 of them. But he's like another midfielder. And we're talking big bodies. The guy's 6'6", 100 kilos, can run like the wind and run all day long. He had 15 touches, 7 of them contested. 7 contested possessions and 6 clearances from a 6 foot 600 kilo bloke in the middle. And he can use the ball. He went at 80% disposal efficiency and had 6 score involvements. I think it was only second to Dangerfield. And a goal of him, of his own. That's an extra brilliant midfielder. Big midfielder. Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do as far as that comes. I really, like, you can't put too much weight on the young fella Sheldrick to come in. He's definitely not a big man. I think he's, like, I'm a short ass. I'm bloody, what am I? 180 centimetres something? And I'm bigger than him. Yeah, so it is getting, oh, and I am of the opinion that you can get in and under and get dirty as a little man. But you got to be able to stop these guys just running through you. So I still think, I don't know. Heaney competed well when he went in there. Do we just throw caution to the wind? Like, it's not going to matter that he's a better forward if we're not winning it and not getting it forward. Like, do you still back in your Haywoods and your Logans and your Papleys to get it done up there? Like, McLean, he's gonna take time to find form. These young guys, these big forwards, they take time to find form. I'd been excited about the prospects of Constanti coming in and watching the VFL. He didn't get a great look at it early, and coming back from injury, they only played him in the first half, which was a shame because it was in the second half, especially late in the third when we got a run on, and I would have liked to see his, especially with the game on the line, him being lively around it and everything like that. And again, reserves, Hickey had his comeback. I'm pretty sure he played out the whole game. He was rusty, but he played out the whole game, and that's a big tick for him to come back and then for them to be confident enough to let him play out the full game. Horse has said, but pretty much along the same lines as what he said about Clark last week, how they have concerns about someone who has had multiple injuries coming straight back and all of that, and he came straight back. So it depends how he pulled up, and we'll never know how they pull up. And that's the other thing with Gould. Everyone's like, we should have just played him. We don't know. We don't know what condition these guys are in. And that maybe that's why he made him the sub. We'll never know. And I still, like I say, with all the changes made that everyone's pointing out, you lose by, at best, 50 points. The way that they played and the way we played across the ground, I know it's about giving yourself the best opportunity to win. And they believed that worked. Let's back them in again to do it. It didn't work. You move on. Hopefully they try something a little bit different with some things. I'd say it's not baby out with the bathwater and all of that. But my big thing that I come back to, I really want to see Roe Bottom released. I think he can be the man. To be able to finish in the top three, best and fairest, or whatever it was last year, it's just proof's in the pudding. Just release him. I know I'm ranting here. This is a bit of a rant podcast. I didn't know how I was going to address this one coming off the back of such a bad loss. And I'm not an overly negative person. I do try and take things into context. And especially, you got to take into context the opposition. And I'm not one that says you can only look at stats from this year, because we're talking about this year. The Cats started slow. But what time do you really see, like, the top teams not start slow back in the day? I know things are changing these days because, like, equalisation of the competition and positions can be determined from, you could finish fourth outside the eight on almost 2 points. It's insane how close this game is now. So pressure on starting well is all important. But the Cats are the masters of managing their team. And I'm sure they had a slow start coming back, older bodies, all of that, starting to hit their straps. And unfortunately, we hit them just as they were hitting their straps. And they were hitting their straps. This week, bloody GWS. The rivalry. the battle for whatever bridge you want it to be, the battle for the harbour, the battle for Sydney, the battle for I'm sick of these guys beating us. Again, not much is going to change as far as inns, from what I can tell. So the hammer's going to be on these guys to back up. They're going to have to address these things. They're going to have to, I don't know if it's run harder. Like the week against Richmond, apparently it was a record for the most kilometres run in a game. And this was on the outside, especially guys that didn't rack up stats like your Dill Stevens and your McInerneys. You go back and you look at the stats as far as not just distance covered, but repeat efforts, repeat sprints at speed, and their numbers were through the roof. And that's where I was impressed last week about our overall cohesion of pushing up when we needed to push up and cover and so forth, where this week those type of structures didn't work because that was more like a zone defense and you could roll and push and everything like that, where this week they were just winning the ball, releasing the ball to players that were just free, and it really did. It really did look like a training run. So I don't know how much they can go away in a week's time and change as far as that's concerned. But also, like, GWS played well last week, this week. They're not Geelong. And hopefully that makes their life a little bit easier. Hopefully. Because we're still going to be up against it. It's going to still be a massive challenge. But these guys, there's still something special about them. I believe it. Yes, they're young. Yes, they're still learning. But they've got the resilience to be able to bounce back from something like that. And I'm backing them in. I'm backing them in. I'm backing them in all day long. I'm saying 5-goal win. I'll put it there. It's on the record. You can go back. You can pull me up on it. Whatever. That's my call. All right. Like I say, this has been one hell of a rant podcast. I hope you've somewhat enjoyed it. I hope to see you on the socials. I hope you listen again next time. All the best. Cheer, cheer.